The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos. How are you today? If you're just tuning in, hey, you're late. You're very, very late. We started this show at 5 a.m. Should have been here before 5, as a matter of fact. But hey, it's all good. You're here now. Let's have you know that from now to 9 o'clock is going to be conversation around human trafficking. Basically, now, according to NAPTIP statistics from the 2019 to 2022 analysis, it shows that 61% of human trafficking in Nigeria happens internally, that is within the states and across state lines, and 39% across our borders. In the area of prosecution, NAPTIP said that they have so far as an agency recorded 523 convictions, 25 convictions and counting for 2022. That's the much I can take from NAPTIP. I would allow my guest to go into other data because that's why she is here. But if time permits, I will share my own data as well. We can't discuss human trafficking without data, so you know the weight of our conversation this morning, particularly how it connects to you. Some of us are engaged, we're involved in human trafficking without even knowing it. We don't even know that we're involved in one way or the other. What we want is just to get a help. That's all that concerns us, to get somebody to do this for us, get somebody to do that for us. We don't know the import of what we've gotten into. Okay, so you're welcome to join the conversation. As a matter of fact, your own input is very, very vital towards curbing the issue of human trafficking in our polity. I have joining me right now in the studio live, Beke Deremo, Angela Elizabeth, the founder and CEO of Caris Family Development Initiative. Caris is a social work agency, by the way. Angela, lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sheriff. Thank you. Good morning, Lagos.
It's good to have you here. Try and move that mic close to you so people can hear you. Fantastic.
Okay, thank you.
I like your glasses.
Thank you so much.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
And I like your smile as well.
Wow, you're making me blush.
It's good to have you here, Angela.
Thank you.
It's good to have you. Now, for context, what is human trafficking?
Okay. Human trafficking, according to the UNTOC is the United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime.
Okay.
And human trafficking falls into two protocols.
Okay.
We have the protocol to prevent, suppress, and punish trafficking in persons. That one is regarded as TIP.
Okay.
Then we have the protocol of smuggling of migrants.
Tell us about the first protocol, TIP.
Okay, TIP has to do basically within internal, sometimes externally, like, and when you traffic people from one geographical area to another against their will, sometimes they are willing, they are willing accomplices, probably because of poverty and the challenges that they are having from wherever they are coming from. But the bottom line is that at the end of the day, they are not free human beings. Every human being in this modern world is supposed to be free. Nobody is supposed to be a slave. So when you kind of move them or traffic them for financial benefits, you use them against their own will. Probably you use them for child labor, you use them for sexual exploitation, you use them for crime, you use them for different things. They don't have that liberty that every human being has to say, okay, I'm a human being, do I want to do this, don't I want to do this? So long they don't have that voice of freedom, it's wrong. It's slavery, and it's considered as human trafficking. That's the trafficking in person.
Fantastic. How common is that in Nigeria?
Okay. For TIP, it's a bit common in Nigeria because of if we look at some of our cultural values, our beliefs, our practices. So which come under like when you say the African fostering. Like I for one under TIP, I focus on child trafficking, child labor, and child sexual exploitation. That's where I really have my voice, as in an advocate against this thing. I create awareness on this. Okay, it's very common when I take a child from my village.
Okay.
I bring that child to my home in Lagos, and I'm not giving that child any education, and that child is working for me, and I'm sending proceeds to the family. That's human trafficking. It's wrong.
Whoa.
It's very, very wrong. Because every child has the right to quality of life.
Who is a child? Let's start from there.
Okay, by the Nigerian law, a child is someone that is not yet 18, is a minor. So long that person is 18, that person is an adult.
Okay.
Once that individual is not yet 18, that's a child. And this category of trafficking children, minors, it's common between, very, very common between the ages of 10 to 15.
And we do that without even knowing.
Yeah, we do that. And
do you think people know or they just ignore because of what they want to benefit from it?
That's why I said our practices, our cultural values, our beliefs. But moving with times, these things have become laws and children are being protected. If you want to take Nigeria back, like some 50 years back, if you bring a child from your own town or wherever, and that child, you are like a full-stream parent to that child.
Yeah.
Nobody sees it as illegal. Whether you give the child education or not, you just be considered a wicked person that choose not to train another person's child
education. That's right.
Educationally.
That's right.
But right now, so long a child is under your care as a guardian, a parent, or whosoever you are, that child has the right to education. And you must give that child education. And you're not giving that child education. Probably that child is doing domestic chores for your unpaid domestic chores.
Yeah.
It's considered human trafficking because you are exploiting that child. So some parents will say, some guardians or foster parents or whatever, they will say, after I send money to your people. No, it's wrong. The law is protecting the law is protecting that individual, that child. So where the parents cannot protect the child, that's where the law comes to protect the child. And one thing with human trafficking, it starts from the known face, which is called soft trafficking. I'm the auntie of that child. I go to my village, I pick the child, and that child is with me. I'm using that child for exploitation or wherever, just to satisfy my own end. Probably the child gets tired one day, and the child will run away from my home, will fall into strangers that might even get him into to the bigger syndicates, the bigger rackets like that. It becomes ad trafficking.
Soft trafficking to ad trafficking.
Yeah. Soft trafficking is known faces, familiar faces,
right,
family and friends, people that you know. I know this person is my brother's friend, is my uncle, is somebody. You know that person. So when you now get to, you're now meeting up with strangers to say, okay, I bring a child down from my village to Lagos. Okay, this child has been with me for a while, and the child is like, I don't want to do, the child kind of run away from my home.
Right.
And get into stranger, someone that is promising, and poverty is the core, the major factor here. And somebody is promising, life in Nigeria is hard for you. Come to Nigeria. I mean, come to Dubai. I can take you to Dubai. This thing that you're doing free for your auntie, you earn large money in dirhams. By the time you convert to Nigerian money, you live the good life and everything. Now that child is being entrusted. That child is now going to, that individual is going to strangers. That's the ad trafficking.
Right.
And that person will be taken outside Nigeria. That's where the smuggling of migrants comes in. You know, it starts from tip trafficking
right.
in person.
That's right.
It now progresses to smuggling of migrants. That's through land or sea or wherever.
We'll come to smuggling first, but I want us to properly deal with the tip issue. You said something about, you know, a child between 10 and 15?
Yeah, true. It's very common about that.
Very common within that range.
Yeah.
But let's talk about those even within that range or outside that range that are being sent to school or being sent to go and learn a skill, is that still trafficking?
So long, if there's a difference between you being a fostering parent, because if you're fostering a child, the first thing you consider is the quality of life and the liberty and freedom. If all this thing comes to play, it's not trafficking.
Okay.
But once you're not giving that child the quality of life, say good health, education, care, love, warmth, that child is not free. You're using that child for exploitive measures.
Yeah.
That child is working for you. That's human trafficking.
That's human trafficking.
Yeah, that's within Nigeria. That's the first statistic that you read.
Yeah.
That it was shocking, like 61% from the native database.
That's right. Yeah. And once you can take care of this as a fostering parent, you are not doing anything illegal.
You're not doing anything illegal because it's just like you're taking care of another child.
Mm.
So you have your child. You're giving. The one thing is that the key thing you should look at is the liberty. That child is free. That's the first thing.
Mm.
Then you're giving the child the quality of life.
Mm.
But if the child is now being exploited now, like there's a modern slave, modern day slavery in inverted comma, because what you're doing now is that the child is the one working for you. You're supposed to have a domestic or whatever that can come and do the chores and pay.
Right.
Now you're using that child to carry out all those activities and you're not paying. And you're saying that after all, you're feeding the child, you're taking care of the child. The child cannot live at their own liberty.
Mm.
No, that's human trafficking. It's the soft human trafficking.
Right. Now, Angela, I would come back to you in a moment, but let me quickly tell our listener listening right now that you're very free to, if you've been in this position before, if you've been through this before, would like to hear your experience. If you've been through, you know, good madams or good ogas, would like to hear your story as well. We're not, if it's going to be too offensive to your sensibility, please do not call and do not share, and we apologize, you know, in earnest, we apologize for that. But if you can freely share your experience, we would like to hear as well, because the reason for this is so many people out there can connect, they can truly feel that these things do happen when they hear from someone who had gone through what we're talking about before. Because to some, now we're talking like they haven't seen it before. So they have, they pay them. Now, the other area of this conversation I want us to look at is people who bring in children from, say, villages or somewhere to come and learn, in quote, work, but then they don't pay them. Or what they do is just, some of them don't even give anything to these children at the end of the day. In somewhere they would say that he or she will be settled at the end of his or her training or something. At the end, he or she doesn't get settled. Like, at what point do you draw the line between training somebody in skills acquisition or trade or anything and trafficking in persons?
Okay, it's very simple. The difference is just that liberty, freedom. Is that person are you exploiting that person? If you're not exploiting that person, that means the person is free. The person can say, I want to go. You allow the person to go. And are you, like I always say, the quality of life will come. Because people, that every child, no matter what, a child cannot tell you, I don't want education. Is the child universal human right to have to be given education? So even when a child shows that, oh, I'm not interested in education, that's why you are the guardian. You're supposed to guide and mentor that child to say, this is the basic need of life. You need it. I am the parent here because I say so. You should. If by the time you're 18, if you're not interested in education, it's your call. So you can't say, oh, you're training this individual that because you want to set this individual later in life, and the end of the day, you did not do that. Haven't you exploited that individual? You have exploited that individual, and it's human trafficking. A very common one. Have you been to our local markets? As in, you go to our local market regularly.
Yes, I do.
Those children that you see there, you will see some that are Nigerians, some are non-Nigerians. Even when school is in, they are not in school. They are there. Doing what? Working, earning a living. And it's not supposed to be so. It's not supposed to be. These are all trafficking in person. But and the funny thing is that we have this in our laws. Since I've been doing this and human trafficking prevention thing, I've been studying the laws, native laws.
What have you found out? Tell us.
Okay, what I've found out is that we have the laws, as in, I think the highest fine there is like 5 million. There's the one for 250,000 as in if you exploit any individual and you found wanting, you face this amount. I think the highest is about 5 million.
5 million naira.
Yes. And of recent, the DG, the current DG of NAPTI, I saw where she had a meeting with the judiciary system and she was calling for stiffer measures. That means because
that law should be reviewed.
Yeah, that it should be reviewed because this punishment is not commensurating the level of crime that is being committed against humanity. So yeah, so before we now start saying okay, let's punish people out there, what about the ignorant ones? Can we educate them? Can we give them the information to say, oh, this is what it entails, this is what it says? So let them get that information first, and they'll know that okay, if I go against this thing, I'm breaking the law. And the shocking thing being a social worker, being a humanitarian, being an advocate, I exposed myself to lots of things. I took a course in child protection in Nigeria.
Okay.
I was so pained. That course was by the United Nations. Okay. I was so pained that Nigerian ratified Social Protection Convention in 17 October 1960. As I speak to you, Nigeria signed the convention. We've not ratified. It was shocking because we have our reasons for not. But we're like, why? But the good thing is that we did the other one for 2012.
Okay.
The one that can provide you social safety nets to elevate the shocks of life. Then I now got to this human trafficking thing. Then Nigeria that is known not to ratify has ratified like 5 conventions. So it was an applaud for Nigeria. I was smiling when I was reading it. I was very happy because when they listed member states, like Nigeria was listed among the member states, and Nigeria was even applauded in their measures of trying to curb this thing. As in, the UN gave Nigeria kudos, but the thing now is that our people are ignorant of the law. So, what can we do to put this information out there to say, okay, human trafficking, this is what human trafficking looks like. I was opportunity to speak on the dialogue for trafficking in persons in July in Vienna, online in Nigeria. And we're told not to mention the name of any country, but there was a particular guy that was making reference to the last saga that was centered around Nigeria. That guy was from Uganda. And he kept saying this and kept saying this over and over. So looking back at home, you will see the conversation we had in Nigeria. The conversation was, is he a minor? Is he not a minor? Is he an adult? Is he not an adult? So it's not whether he's a minor or he's an adult. The thing is that a crime is a crime.
That's right.
And it's against humanity.
That's right.
And so fortunate or unfortunate that wherever these issues has been apprehended, you go by the criminal justice of that land to deal with what it says. If it's a minor, it will be given protection. But if it's a willing victim and accomplice as an adult, they have their laws that deals with that.
With such.
So what we're saying is that I cannot sit down here and say I want to participate in organ trafficking, giving my consent to you without following the laws of the land. Right. If I'm apprehended, it's a crime.
Regardless,
it's a crime.
You know what? Let's prepare to head out now for a quick break. When we return, Angela, we'll talk about smuggling of people in persons. So we'll talk about how people can know whether they are about to be smuggled, the point has to look out for, and how to avoid it. You made mention of something very critical, and that is that poverty is one of the major driving force of trafficking in persons, whether internally or externally. And how can we make sure that people are not too desperate to want to put their lives at risk? Because we've heard so many stories, even on this station, as regards how people lose their lives when they're trying to get out of this country by all means, in the Sahara Desert, in Morocco, in Libya, so many Nigerians languishing in the Libyan prisons and human traffickers cells in Libya out there. Till today, we're still getting people to be repatriated or to be brought back home after spending years in traffickers' den in Libya and other North African countries. We'll deal with all of these things when we return. Lagos, if you're watching online, we'll still love to hear from you if you got a story, your story, for us, just to inspire others, just to educate others, and just to pass a message across that these things do happen. People are indeed being trafficked, even within here in Nigeria. Let's go to break. We'll be right back, Lagos. Stay with us here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Nigeria Info. Thank you for remaining with us here on the talk station of the nation. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Angela is here from Caris Foundation, Family Initiative, Family Development Initiative. She joins us live in the studio, and we've been talking about trafficking in persons all morning today. And at this juncture, before I even come to Angela, by the way, I would like to take a few reactions and calls from you, the public out there, before we get into our own conversation this morning. Feel free to call in. Let's hear from you before we continue. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. We are streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. That's Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms. Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms. Have you been trafficked before? Do you feel that you've been trafficked before? What did you go through? Have you been in that difficult position? What was the experience like? That's what I would love to know this morning for you to share with the general public. Please, when you're calling me, please reduce the volume on your radio. It's very important that you do that. Okay, I think we lost that. Let's try and take another now. Good morning to you. That's gone as well. Perhaps the telephone lines are acting up this morning. So we're going to hold on with the telephone. Should we try one more? Maybe we can try one more. Then if it doesn't pull through, we'll go. Morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, my name is Samuel.
You're welcome.
I've not been involved in trafficking. I've not trafficked particularly in any way. But this is my view. Why I quite appreciate the enlightenment you're doing, because let me also call it an enlightenment, because a lot of people are taking this act without having the clear.
They don't even know.
Fact. Yes, but they're breaking some truth. You know, that's that. But this is it. Mine still stands this. As long as we in Nigeria, we do not have a welfare system, it's difficult for him to say he shouldn't take it. Your guest right some minutes ago was speaking about two children in the marketplace who are involved in, I will not call it trafficking, but work. Because actually they are meant to be in school. And rather, they're in the market trying to earn a living. I quite agree it is not appropriate, because I would not pray that for any of my children. But this is it. If those children do not do that, what is their chances of survival? How can they take care of themselves? How can they feed? You know, because you see, if I had a welfare system and people could say, okay, at this age, government is catering for them, then we would understand all these laws being enacted and being enforced. But as long as we don't have it, it's difficult. Even let's look at it this way. The child feeding program embarked by this administration
school feeding, right,
for primary school children.
Right.
I had some point in time that they said they spent about 250 billion to do it in a year or in a particular year. Well, the educational budget for that year was 123 or 24, 25 billion. Meaning they spent almost double just feeding children in schools. While the amount for education itself, I'm talking of from primary to tertiary, budgeted by the government, is half of it. Which gives a lot of people the avenue to believe that that feeding program is just a form of them enriching themselves. That's just the publicity. But this is it. We need to look for an endearing way. A typical example, let's go back to the Second Republic.
Right.
In Lagos, at least I partook in those schools.
Mm-hmm.
The governor then, Elijah Jakonde,
mm-hmm.
built primary schools, which was to educate children mm-hmm. free of charge
mm-hmm.
without any stipend being paid.
Right.
Books and all were provided in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And if we embark on such a program now,
right.
then I will agree, you are saying, okay, all children are entitled to going to school.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the mm-hmm. public schools right now, a
right.
stipend is being paid in one form or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But then, education and books were free. All you needed to do was make yourself available.
Right.
You get educated.
Right.
Even for some secondary schools, that also exists.
Mm-hmm.
But now, all these are no longer in place.
Mm-hmm.
So, the government is telling us, oh, this is a crime. We agree. But what have they put in place to ensure that these children they want to take care of, whose future they are so interested in,
right.
have been totally catered for? Mm. There is nothing they are doing.
Well said.
And you are now telling people who are trying to probably help these people that they are embarking on a crime. I agree it's wrong.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But look, they'll tell you that, look, I am providing shelter. I am providing food.
Mm.
And I'm providing, in quotes, conducive living for this child.
Mm.
Even if they are not even paying a stipend to our people or ourselves.
Mm.
You know, but they are providing what the government should provide. They are providing it. And you're now telling them they are being involved in criminal activities.
Mm.
I mean, who is deceiving who?
Thank you for your thought. Angela, you respond to this, but let's quickly speak with Isaac, quickly.
Okay.
Isaac, hi.
All right, sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Okay. Thank you for the program. I'm listening to the program this morning, and I'm so glad that we have this kind of program on air.
Hmm.
I'm a Beninese resident in Nigeria.
Okay.
So this program you're talking about,
yeah.
it has to do with us in so many ways.
Tell me.
Okay?
Tell me.
Yeah, like the child trafficking thing you're talking about.
Okay.
The majority are like my people here in Nigeria from Benin Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason why we also started an association
okay.
that is currently announcing this kind of situation,
mm.
you know, of to stop child trafficking.
Mm.
And also, we're also looking at people or family who will do this fostering that she talked about,
mm.
like taking care of them. You know, if we can come to an agreement where they will take care of them,
mm.
you know, send them to school to learn a trade or anything. You know, we're also, we'll be glad to have a support. And I would like to have a connection to her, to the lady yeah. on air.
Okay.
I don't know if that is possible.
She will share how you can contact her much later
okay.
on. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Isaac, thank you.
I would like
thank
to
you.
Work with her.
Mm.
You know.
Thank you. Like I mean, that space needs all the help it can get, really. It needs all the help. And by the way, I need to add here that the reason we're having this conversation today is because we can't have it on Saturday. Saturday is the World Day Against Trafficking in Persons, as designated by the United Nations. But, you know, I don't come to work on Saturday, right? So that's why we're having the conversation today, all right? Okay, just so you know why. This conversation is very, very important at this point in time. Angela, you'd like to respond to the first caller?
Yeah, I want to respond to the first caller. And I'm going by the laws and regulations on Nigerian child law. He's right about the social welfare,
yeah.
welfare system and services that he talked about. Because when you've not put things in place, it's not right for you to incriminate people. You know, I told you initially that I took a course on social protection.
That's right.
And if you look at the social, if you go to the national social safety nets in Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
you see where they say they've given number of millions of person cash transfer. There's what they call cash transfer.
Conditional cash transfer.
Yeah,
that's NSITF website, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. that they've given this family cash transfer. Why are they giving them cash transfer? Mm-hmm. Just to ease that burden of life when they're experiencing
right.
the shocks of life.
Mm-hmm.
So let me take it to work now. He said, okay, if he's giving a child a good home,
mm.
as in is training that child,
right.
and it's not right for you to say, oh, it's child trafficking. Then you know, he said he knows that is wrong,
yeah.
but it's not right for you to incriminate this person.
Mm.
Yes, he has a point. If you're doing that, and like I said initially,
mm-hmm.
is that individual free? Is there liberty? Is that individual a free person, a free citizen? So if you can
define free, what do you mean by free?
Free is that I am not a modern day slave. You're not using me for any exploitative means. Probably you're supposed to have a housekeeper that comes to your house and you're supposed to pay so amount of money. It's costing you like $100,000 in a month. You want to use a child that what you're expensing on that child is less than $15,000 in a month. And you're not giving that child education. That child is the one doing the household chores for you. You're exploiting that child. You are. Because if you can afford that housekeeper coming in monthly and you part with your 100k, so what are you not doing that? So why are you going for the child and you're saying, oh, because you're training this child in inverted comma? So what is training? Every child in this life, according to the law of the world right now, if I say by the United Nations, that child is entitled to education. That's why the term year 2020, education for all. No one should be left behind. You cannot say you're training somebody's child and you will not give that person's child education. And you can imagine you're training somebody's child. We've seen in our own videos, we're in a big palatable home. The child is sleeping on the kitchen cold floor.
Right.
And you're saying you're training that child. What happens to the bedrooms that you can give that child that comfort of life? Like I said, if you're fostering a child by the African cultural values, belief system and whatever, which we do, which is our thing, there's nothing wrong. A lot of people have benefited from it. Ask yourself, is this person that you're doing this thing for, is this person free or this person is indirectly my slave?
Angela, let me corroborate what you have said from our own Child Rights Act so that people know that there's a law that can find you guilty of if you violate any of these basic rights of a child. The right to an identity, that is tackled in Article 7 and 8 of the Child Rights Act that some states have domesticated. We'll come to that in a moment. The rights to health, Articles 23 and 24, take care of that. The rights to education, Article 28, takes care of that. The rights to a family life, Articles 8, 9, 10, 16, 20, 22, and 30, takes care of that. I mean, these are some of the areas that the Child Rights Act, have spoken about in the law that we have here in Nigeria that some states have domesticated. Angela, are there some states that have not domesticated the Child Rights Act?
Yeah, a good number of states, like between 9 to 11, and they're all northern states.
All of them northern states?
Northern states.
Why do you think this is so?
Because of probably their traditional practices, their religious belief, which I would go like child marriage.
Okay.
Early child marriage, because a girl in the north 12 can get married, and this Child Rights Act said say no to early marriage is a crime. You understand? And also this Almajiri thing that they do. So I think that's one of these are some of the reasons why they have not ratified this act. So what I would suggest is that, because Lagos State was an exemplary state for other states. Okay. This was far back when I was doing my master's, 2005, 2008, in University of Ibadan. So I think what NGO, CSOs in these northern states can do is to continue the advocacy.
Right.
They should keep lobbying. They should keep pushing until the whole states in Nigeria come to endorse this Child Rights Act. There's really nothing one can do.
Okay.
Those CSOs in other regions can lend their voices so we can come as a unifying force to say we need this for child protective services in Nigeria. But they have to lead, because they know their terrain more than other CSOs.
Right. Let's take this call. Okay, that caller is gone. I'm going to take some messages on our live stream on YouTube. Basit Dindi says, how can one report someone doing something so similar, using the girl as a sales rep in Oshodi, while the girl drops out of school in SS1? Basit says he's a teacher and he's very sure of what he's saying. So that drives me to our point, next talking point, which is when you see these things happening, how can one help, salvage situation, what should someone do?
Yeah, I think this week, last week that just passed, they launched the task force for this human trafficking thing in Abuja, UNODC, okay, in partnership with NAPTIF and other key stakeholders.
Okay.
These t-shirts I'm wearing, there are numbers you can call.
Okay.
Maybe we'll read out those numbers.
Yes, we will.
We'll read out those numbers to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then a tip I want to give to whosoever that is going to call. You know, human trafficking is a very big syndicate, and the perpetrators are not nice. They are not kind. They are ruthless. They are brutal. So if you're going to give a tip, the first thing you should be thinking about you is your own protection. Your own safety. You have to protect yourself. Never in any point in time someone says show your face and you show your face. Your own is to give the information and you give the tip and you back up. Except you're sure that you have police protection.
Okay.
Probably you can't show your face. The business is said to be a $150 billion and dollars racket, blah blah blah.
World over.
So it is a serious,
and they are very brutal. I like the fact that you mentioned that.
Yeah, they're very brutal. So you have to protect yourself. A friend of mine called me, as in before we had that dialogue, he actually got a tip where we are going to do our advocacy in Ikeja. He got a tip to say there is this people that comes from Burkina Faso to recruit Nigerian girls for sexual exploitation. And it's so sad, I have to say this. This goes to NAPTIF now. He called one of their offices and the response he got wasn't so encouraging. He called me and said, Angela, should I show my face? I said, do not show your face.
Let me buttress that. Oliver Michael on YouTube says, about 3 years ago, Sheriff, someone from NAPTIP came to your studio for this same subject. She gave out a number to call. To cut the long story short, the process is too long. And Oliver says, welcome, Angela. So just to buttress your point that sometimes even our agencies themselves don't make these things easy.
Yeah. So these are one of the points. Those are one of the points I pointed at when we're having that United Nations dialogue. I said it's not Nigeria only. It's a global issue. Corruption is a global thing. It's not, corruption is not only for Nigeria. So long as a human being there, there's possibility for corruption. I said, okay, so from time to time in the news, we've read corrupt practices. So how can whistleblowers protect themselves? And they said they have their measures, and I think that measurement should start from you, the whistleblower first. Like, you want to help humanity, like you're thinking of improving lives, you should also do it in a way that you're safe. I always tell people, do not use your personal number. I don't know how you can do it. Just do something. If it's to go to their, thank God we live in a social media age. If you can go to their page publicly, put the information there, give it to them. Thank you.
Angela, we have to touch on what we said we're going to touch on about the colors that is. So how can one know that you're about to be smuggled out of the country? What are those pointers?
Oftentimes, they kind of dangle this carrot thing because of the poverty. So the person knows that I'm being taken out, but the person fails to see the slavery part. He's so hopeful to say, okay, if I cross to the other side, I'll be doing what they said I would do. I'll be earning thousands of dollars. I'll be earning thousands of dirham or whatsoever currency.
Hold on, Angela. We're back, and we have to go now. Angela, how can people reach out to you?
Okay, my number is 0023-931051.
Especially for the other guy that wants to reach out. How about social media? Are you on social media?
Okay, my name is Angela Becker-Deremo on social media. On Instagram, it's just Carrie's Family Development Initiative.
On Instagram?
On Twitter, is Angela Becker-Deremo. LinkedIn, Angela Becker-Deremo.
Becker-Deremo. Like that.
Yeah.
Becker Deremo, one word, like that. That's on all of those platforms. Angela, thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for coming through. And thank you for the good work that you do. Social work, I don't know. I think it's only God that can pay you people. We appreciate you. Marigas to Akin, by the way. Great
thank
guy.
You.
He was here the other day as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming through. Huh? And wish you best of luck. Please stay safe. Please stay safe. Very important. That's my show this morning. I am Sheriff Quadri. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Tomorrow is Thursday, so it's Health Thursday. And we'll conclude on our conversation on medical fraud tomorrow at 8. Stay here on Nigeria Info.
happened. I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not